Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's July 6th and it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. Okay, and I hope you all had a great weekend for July 4th. And of course yesterday everybody had off. I got a show today with my good friend Chris Seeley. Chris is the Program Director for School and Justice Initiatives at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. And we're going to talk about a mental health education program that's called Notice, Talk, Act. And then he's going to talk about some grants that are now available, okay, that will help you with student, well, that help you and your students with their mental well-being. So it's going to be a nice show, and Chris is always a great guest. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity. Again, ace-ed.org, our wonderful magazine, our online journal, Equity and Access is over there. All our podcasts are over there, including this one will be a little bit later today. So please check it all out. Join with us if you want. Everything we do over there is free at ace-ed.org. We're all about equity, and I hope you go over and do that. And here's Chris Seeley. Hi, Chris. Welcome to today's show. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was very relaxing, yes. A little hot, but got to enjoy some nice fireworks out here on the National Mall here in D.C. for the first time, and lots of crowds, and, you know, it's kind of good to kind of start getting back to normal, whatever that might look like. So
whatever the heck normal is. How many people were in the mall? I didn't see the show last night.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
I don't even know
an inaccurate count.
Was
it like mom, like usual? Was it mall?
Oh, it was a full mall, I would say. You know, just enough room to walk around the blanket. So people standing up, and we left a little bit early just to beat the crowds out to get back home using the metro. So
wow, good. I'm glad you had a good time, and the show was good. I didn't watch any of it yesterday. The show was good.
Yeah, yes, it was actually Sunday night, and it was good. You know, well. I'll put it this way. I think growing up, maybe fireworks are a little bit more enjoyable than as an adult. It's still really cool to see it with the, you know, Washington Monument as the backdrop. But me and the wife were joking that we might not be making that trip every year. That might be a once we have kids experience.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad you made it home safe and all that sort of stuff. Tell us about the APA Foundation where you work, and then also then start talk about the Notice, Talk, and Act, and then we'll talk about the grants. Go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah.
Chris Seeley, everybody.
Yeah, the American – thank you, Larry.
You're
yes,
welcome,
Chris. The American Psychiatric Association Foundation is a mental health nonprofit that really focuses on public education. You know, we really, our mission is to create a mentally healthy nation for all where you live, learn, work, and worship. So we have a Center for Workplace Mental Health that, you know, for anyone listening that is, you know, going to their commute at work or maybe something like that, we have some resources that are available for employers. We have free resources available for the faith community. I focus, you know, on kind of the school and justice work. So we really try to hit everywhere, like I said, where you live, learn, work, and worship. And my focus is kind of the schools, as you know, Larry, in the multiple conversations we've gotten to have about schools and mental health and the well-being of students. And I think that's the philosophy of the foundation is that, you know, though we are a mental health nonprofit, it's about all the different things that can impact a youth or an individual's well-being. You know, that could be housing, that could be food, that could be a lot of different things that really impact their ability to be their full self. And if we can notice those early warning signs and start a conversation with people to gather information, show that we have care and concern for them, and then act, you know, to connect them or offer connection to care really when they are in need. And we have, you know, programs that really do that across all of those different ones. But we do have a mental health professional development for K through 12 and college staff members to really help them better recognize students who are in need of a little additional support, whether that's mental health or any additional support services that they may need. And we do that in kind of a two-step approach. We start with an e-learning module that's about 30 to 40 minutes at your own pace, at the staff member's self-pace. And then we do a custom tailored classroom experience that really focuses on the resources that the school has available. You know, mental health services, social workers, counselors, do they have a psychologist or a psychiatrist that they might have a connection with? But what other resources? You know, are there bus tokens? Are there food assistance? What else does your school have access to that might help to alleviate the distress that a student might be experiencing? And then we really try to hone in and I think help the staff members understand their role within the school, being that notice, talk, and act, kind of lifting, I think, sometimes that weight off of the shoulders of staff members to say you don't have to be a pseudo mental health professional, right? You don't have to understand diagnoses and treatment plans and all of these different things. You need to be the adult, you know, in the school and notice when a change happens. Start a conversation, not be an investigative detective, because we don't want to re-traumatize students if something bad has happened to them.
Right.
And then always have an action, right? Whether a student is in crisis and we need to follow, you know, a safety protocol or a referral is needed and how we do that warm handoff to make sure that student is connected to those support services. Or maybe a student doesn't share or doesn't have a concern. And how do you just build a relationship? How do you check back in with that student? Or what are the steps that you can put in place? So if a student, you know, Larry, or you, we've caught you four times walking throughout the hallway, or if no one tells anybody, we don't see that pattern of behavior. So what can we set up within the school to make sure we notice some of those withdrawn behaviors a little bit quicker so students don't slip through the cracks?
Right. And it's, thank you, Chris. That was a good overview. And I got to tell you, this is scary stuff. And it's scary for a teacher because this is why what you guys do is so important. Okay. Again, it's a school mental health education program, Notice, Talk, and Act. And it's all at APNFDN.org, APAFDN.org, which is the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. Okay, if you just Google, okay, Notice, Talk, Act at school, and it'll pop right up. Okay, but this is the kind of thing that, and it was never like this when I was teaching. All right, but things have changed. Okay, and I really mean that. Okay, and especially now with the pandemic, which I'm going to talk about for a second. Okay, and coming back from the pandemic and all that, there was a lot of trauma last year. In the last 18 months, and I know I'm not telling anybody anything new, all right? But things are different, okay? And kids have really been through hell, many, many kids. And I'm talking about from the richest suburban kid to the poorest urban or rural kid or whatever the case may be, okay? People have been – this has created a difference, and it's up to us who deal with these kids every day to be able to notice stuff. And Chris, just talk about it. You said it well, okay? But the goal of this is not to become a psychiatrist if you're a teacher. It's to be able to recognize, okay, if there might be trauma, okay, and try to get that kid to the right person within the school district or the community. Am I correct?
Exactly, right. Because I think, you know, everyone – shows their need for mental health or additional services a little bit different, right? And we, I think, I'm a clinically trained social worker, and even I, you know, might not always understand what is going on by the behaviors that I'm seeing from an individual, right? There is a root cause most of the time to these behaviors that you might be seeing in the classroom, especially disruptive, and we kind of talk about it as disruptive or withdrawn behaviors. And those behaviors have a root cause, you know. I never think, you know, what we really try to do is we help staff members across, you know, not just teachers, you know, these are paraprofessionals, these are coaches.
Thank you.
Anyone who might be a part of your school community that, you know, it's not a, this student who is being disruptive isn't being disruptive to cause you grief, right? There's something going on in their life that might be happening, right? And if we can take a little bit of time to notice that change, to start a conversation, and I think to your point, not to come up with the solution. And I think that's really important. It's really what you're providing as a listening ear, you're gathering information, and then you're providing that information to the professionals who have been trained to do the work, right? We don't expect you to understand all of the different nuances that might have to go into it. And, you know, and what I like to say too is that, you know, when you're listening to a student, sometimes they give you enough information that you don't have to keep asking more questions, right?
Yeah.
And that goes
yeah.
back to when I talked about re-traumatizing students, right?
Yeah.
Is if you know that mom and dad are fighting at home for some reason, right? You've gathered enough information. You don't have to ask details. You don't need to get into the drama of why they're fighting. That's for the professionals, right? And even a step further is once you know that that might be going on in the household, don't check in with them about the house, right? Let's focus on the positive, because if you've done your job within Notice, Talk, and Act, you've gotten them connected to the people that they're going to talk to, you know, the professional who might be focusing on the bad things that are going on right in life, or those tough things that are causing them so much pain. We don't want another person to just pile on top of that, right? Let's focus on the positive. Let's find something that they enjoy. Let's talk about that. And that's also part of the training, is that we really try to recognize that role is building a relationship. And that's where that notice really comes into play in building a strong relationship with students. And sometimes you might not have a relationship with a student, but they might know somebody else in the school. So it's always, you know, there's always that extra layer that we talk about within the training is, you know, if you get to, like, if a student doesn't want to talk to you, ask an open-ended question to see if there's anybody else, right? Because you never know what doors might be open if you can get that student,
yep.
you know, in front of the person that they have a relationship with.
Right. It's so important. And, Chris, what is the training? And we're going to talk about the grants that you guys are offering in just a few minutes, but I just want to put it all into perspective. What is the training like? You're in D.C., okay, and let's just say there's a school district here in Maine where I live, okay, up north.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that mean Chris and company trek on their dog sleds with their mucklucks up to Fort Kent on the northern tip of Maine, or how does this work?
Well, I would love to do that at some point, Larry. So, if we ever want
perhaps
to do that
not
together,
in January. Perhaps not in January, but we'll just
maybe
move
a
on.
Summer run.
There
maybe
you go.
Summer run.
There you go.
Yeah, so a great question, Larry. We actually have two different delivery options for schools. So we have a direct delivery where it would be myself or one of our certified instructors would work directly with the school. You know, obviously we're kind of in this state of limbo in some situations where I think schools are going to be going back. Some businesses like us are still not quite sure what back to work is going to look
That's
like.
That's exactly. Workplace is going to change.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But we, you know, we can offer
schools,
in-person trainings through that direct delivery, or we can do it virtual. You know, it's really up to the school and what they would like to have happen. With that direct delivery, you know, the staff members get the e-learning module access, and then the school support services team, you know, those social workers, the counselors, administration, we work together over the phone to really prepare the presentation, right? We really want to tailor that classroom portion to make sure it fits into that individual school. So we spend about 3 hours together making sure that classroom portion has been tailored to that school's needs. And then we go out and deliver. That certified instructor or myself goes out and delivers the classroom portion, really in tandem with those support services teams. What we kind of talk about is I'm bringing the expertise of the curriculum. You're bringing the expertise of the school and the students.
Yep.
So it really has to be that collaboration. And it's something that we emphasize even across the training, is that it's everyone's role to notice, talk, and act. So, you know, though teachers have to teach and, you know, janitorial staff has to clean the halls, everyone's role is the same within Notice, Talk,
yep.
and Act. And then we have the Train the Trainer, which, you know, the direct delivery is about $20 per staff member. And then the Train the Trainer is $10 per staff member. So it's half the cost. And what we do is we go in and we train the support services team to deliver the full curriculum. So instead of, you know, myself or a certified instructor kind of tailoring that classroom portion and then delivering the classroom training, that's all with the support services team. So we do a train-the-training session for about 4 hours with that support services group. Whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know, if a full district maybe wants to get a training, they send, you know, individuals from each of the schools. And we spend about 4 hours on that training, really just making sure that they feel comfortable with the curriculum, that we talk about how they can
mm-hmm.
tailor it. Well, you know, during this virtual, over this last year and a half, we've been able to do some virtual ones and even break up the schools into their own little breakout rooms so they can talk about, you know, how does this fit within our, you know, kind of structure of response, you know, or what are our expectations for staff here, or, you know, what role plays do we think would fit really well for our school staff would really help them, you know, understand this.
How long does it take, if I may ask, how long?
Yep. So the e-learning module, which is the start, is 30 to 40 minutes. And then that classroom portion has been designed to fit into the half-day professional development day, so 90 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
We ask for a minimum of 90 minutes. It can go 120. It can go more than that if that's what the school really wants to invest in. But we ask for, you know, no less than 90 minutes for that. And then, you know, actually what happens is that even after that classroom training, you're not just done. You know, we don't wipe our hands clean and say, okay, you're notice talk active school experts. We actually do 3, 6, and 12-month assessments with staff as well to, A, make sure that they are using Notice Talk Act. But then we're also checking in to see about those additional development areas. You know, where are they still struggling to use this framework? You know, a lot of times, you know, it's suicide or self-harm that kind of comes to the top of the list. So, you know, how do we further that kind of framework, or how do you continue to, you know, I think unfortunately no one's going to be comfortable talking about suicide and self-harm with a student. You're just going to get better at it. You know, your skills are going to refine, and we want to give those opportunities to continue to hone those skills. So really when we look about the full engagement of the program, it's 12 months. You know, but the core training is that 30 to 40 minutes and then that 90 minutes. And then even those additional courses that we might offer afterwards are really bite-sized. They're 5 to 10 minutes. They're really to just help further their understanding about specific situations and using Notice, Talk, and Act.
And this, the reason I ask that question is because the thing that always comes up here as I talk to educators is that they are so crunched for time. All right, and your program is so well done and compact, okay? And that's very important to a school district these days, okay? And then you work with them all through the year, okay? But the actual training, okay, is a few hours, okay? And that's a key thing, and it actually works, everybody, okay? It actually works. All right, but it's not free, though now it can be, I think. Talk about the grants.
Yes, so, you know, I think understanding that we are continually trying to bring access to our training, and we know that schools, you know, aren't in the same financial situations, just to be frank, you know, and sometimes they have to make really tough decisions, even more now because of the pandemic and what they've had to invest in over the last year and a half. So what the American Psychiatric Association Foundation has decided to do is launch a grant program for Notice, Talk, Act at School. We will be awarding 10 schools for the 2021 to 2022 school year. These schools will have to show that 40% or more of their students are eligible for free or reduced lunch. That's our eligibility marker. Some additional things that we want the school to also show us in that application is a letter of support from administration so that we know, hey, the person who's applying for this grant and the administration are both on the same page, right? We're ready to take this training if we get this grant, right? And then we also are going to want some data as well, some baseline data about your school. This is around truancy, around discipline referrals, support services referrals, suicides, and some other key data for us as well. The reason that we want to collect this data is we want to continue to see the impact of our program to make sure that we're doing what we want to do. So these 10 schools are really going to be pivotal in us collecting the data and seeing what our impact truly is. This application is fully online. So actually, if you visit ntagrant.apafdn.org, that is where the grant is online right now. Both the grant application and the delivery application are online there. So say, you know, your school isn't eligible for this grant opportunity, but you still really want to apply to bring the trainer. If you go to that ncagrant.apasdn.org website, you can also find the delivery application right there. This grant will be to cover the full cost of the direct delivery of the training, so that $20 per staff member. So you're going to get either myself or a certified instructor working directly with your school to make sure that this works really well and it fits your school's need. We launched this grant application on June 21st, and it's actually going to close in 15 days from when we're talking right now, Larry, on July 21st. And then announcements will happen on August 21st for the winners of the grant. It could happen sooner, but that's kind of the date that we're holding ourselves to. So we want to encourage any school, you know, the 10 schools are going to kind of come from across the country. And, you know, as long as you show that eligibility of 40% or more, you're going to be eligible, and we're hoping to work with you. If you don't get it this year, apply next year, because we will be having this grant available for years to come.
And who, I have to ask this, who do you expect to apply? Because you're not talking district. You're talking schools, okay? So I want to get a couple of things straight. A, should the principal apply, okay? B, is this work best in elementary, middle school, or high school? Just go over those little things, Chris, so people get a good impression.
Definitely. So it is for an individual school, so we definitely want to be clear about that. You know, if somebody from the district does want to apply for one of their schools, we don't want to discourage that at all.
Yeah.
I think a principal, the lead social worker, the lead support service team member, and the principal should probably apply together. That's why we want that letter of support to come from the administration,
cool.
Right? We want to make sure that this is definitely hand in hand. It is through K through 12. Right. That's where this grant is coming into play. So elementary, middle, high school, or alternative schools, right? We've delivered across all of them. We do have data for middle and high school and alternative schools. So, you know, if you're an elementary school, we're probably going to be very interested in getting engaged with you. So I want to encourage elementary schools to apply. Also, I think the sooner that we can get students connected to support services, the better. So the further upstream that I can go, the better I feel about our program. So so it is K through 12 education and, you know, alternative schools as well, kind of that fit into that catchment. So,
yeah, it's so darn important. And I ask this, but I want to ask this, try to get this the right way. But let me ask it this way. Have you found that Notice Talk Act works better, I don't know how else to say this, in elementary or mid, where's the sweet spot, if there is one? Elementary, high school, or middle school, which I know is a weird question, but is there a sweet spot that you've discovered?
You know, I don't know if there's a sweet spot, Larry, but I'll say this, is that our main focus, you know, when this program first started back in 2006, you know, to the public under a different name, the main focus was middle and high school, right? That was the focus of these, you know, teens and kind of this transition from middle to high school and high school to college. You know, if we can catch them sooner before they go off into the real world.
I'm still traumatized from my transition from elementary school to junior high in Philadelphia. And that was many years ago. I'm still traumatized. Okay, so believe me, I get it. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I think about, too, is, you know, I in my own personal life, I, you know, transitioned from elementary to middle school, and then three quarters into middle school, I went to a completely different city, you know, during kind of those formative years. And I think there was definitely,
brutal.
You know, A, you don't have a relationship with staff members. You have to restart again, you know, any information that might have followed you within the school. So I think, you know, we've worked with some schools in the past that had what I would, you know, transitional families, you know, military families who are constantly kind of jumping from place to place as well. So I think, you know, I think at any point the transition between even elementary to middle to high and high to the college are crucial points, you know.
And
a lot of things can happen. A lot of change happens, you know, especially in those middle school years. But, I, you know, personally, this is what I would say. It's our data right now, you know, we're showing in some of the schools that got the training before COVID, we were seeing about a 70% reduction in truancy. 89% reduction in discipline referrals, a 99% reduction in major mental health events, which we have labeled as suicides. And even with that number, one of the schools provided us with information that they've been able to, through the training, they've been able to increase the number of students who get screened through the PHQ-9. So they're catching the students sooner, right, before it even gets to that attempt. They're saying something's not quite right. Let's get you screened. Let's have you get in touch with our support services team, and now we can come up with a full plan of action. And then 171% increase in support services referrals. So, you know, I think, and that's why, you know, we're really excited about, this grant opportunity and collecting the data is, if we can continue to show even those data points, I think we can really start to make a true impact in a lot of different areas, from school to prison pipeline to the 8 to 10 years that we know right now it takes from first signs and symptoms to connection to care, which is really where the program started from. We're like, that's too much suffering, right? 8 to 10 years of not getting proper support. We need to connect you sooner. So those are some of the big numbers or big things that we're trying to impact. And that's what we're hopeful right now. And that's why we want to encourage people to apply for the grant. If you're not eligible, apply for the delivery. I think Larry might agree with me here. The pricing of the program, even outside of the grant,
we'll talk about
that. Super, super accessible for schools. So,
yeah, it really is, and it's a great program. By the way, you said something. I just looked it up. I'm not that smart. You said PHQ-9, which I didn't know what that was. That is the Patient Health Questionnaire 9, which is the major I'm reading off the internet, the major depressive disorder module of the full Patient Health Questionnaire. Where do people get that? Is that at your doctor's office? I never heard of it.
Yeah. So you can get that. You can ask for it at your doctor. Your primary care doctor should be able to offer it to you. If they don't, contact the APA, please. I think screening is so important, you know, that's something that we used in college. There's a screening day for depression and suicide, and we would do that on the streets of the college. You know, we would be like, hey, would you like to get screened today? And if someone had a high number, we would walk them. We would have a little tent. We would walk them over to one of the psychiatrists or psychologists that were on site. And if it was an issue or a crisis situation, we would then walk them directly to the counseling center then. So, it's something, that's – if I can push screening, we need to screen and then assess,
Wonderful, but that's scary because you were just picking people off the street and saying, here, try this, and boom, you're really helping them. I mean, that's – amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's also eliminating stigma, and discrimination, right? We need to openly talk about depression and suicide and how these thoughts are real, and that we're not planting them in someone's mind, right? We're there to help, and there's services that were available if they needed it. And I think that's that's even what the school provided us, right? Is that it's not that now we have more students that are suicidal or feeling depression, that we're catching these students now before something horrible happens, which I think is really
important. And something horrible is happening too often. Teen suicides are up. Your child suicide is up, seriously. Okay, and it's scary stuff. So, this is all good to know. One question, and I know it's by school, but would you folks look like if I'm just going to say it this way, an elementary school and a junior high from the same district applied, would that kind of still be eligible if they meet the requirements?
I think we'd have to assess that just from a case-by-case basis and looking at the size. If they're smaller schools, I think that should be fine. We've delivered to schools that are, 200 staff members to schools that are 16 staff members, right? So schools are so different when even it comes to staff sizes that I think, myself and my program manager, Joy, reviewing the grants. I will, Larry.
Yeah, please.
We'll be reviewing them, and we'll be kind of, this is the first time. And this is what I'll say. This is a new grant, This grant cycle being June to July will only probably happen this year. We will look to kind of announce it in January next year so that, you know, we have a little bit of a longer time for schools to apply and for announcement. But we felt that it was really important to get it out, get the money out there and get the funds out there so we could support schools. So,
well, and I'll tell you, this year is, as I say, this year continues to be the nuttiest years, the last 2 years of school ever, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, the more we get involved in this kind of thing, the better off for the kids. And I have to say also, the better off for the teachers and the staff, who are more likely to understand what's going on in their classrooms or in the school rather than feeling frustrated and looking at it and going, what the hell's going on with this kid? Okay, here's a way to start to assess the situation, okay, which, by the way, is something that isn't taught very well or strongly, okay, in teacher education colleges. All right, and so it's so important to be aware of this. So all this, everybody, the resources are there, okay? The grants are there, okay? At the APA Foundation, that's APAFDN.org. And Chris, just give that a website for the application again.
Yep, it is NTA Grant, so GRANT dot APAFDN.org. And I want to add one thing here because we're talking about student well-being we're thinking about staff being trained in this Notice Talk Act curriculum, and I think one thing that I haven't touched on is the staff's mental health and well-being, which I think equally important.
Yeah.
So I think that's a part of our training. We talk about taking care of yourself, kind of tagging out in situations. But what I do think is probably might be something for schools to consider or districts to consider is that we also have a training for leaders and leader professionals in the workplace called Notice Talk Act at Work that they might want to consider for their administrative staff as well, so that they can, I think your point, right? Like, oh, I'm so frustrated with this student. I think sometimes we miss that staff members who are maybe falling behind, not getting their work done, maybe using, substances more often than they were before. We don't know how to engage in those difficult conversations as well. So I think that's something that we need to get better at just across like the workplace in general, right, is catching that before we have to get rid of somebody or let them go. And I think that this training is similar. It's the same framework, right? So I think it fits into the lexicon that you might be bringing to your school. So if you're thinking, this is a great training for our students, this might be another option for your staff or your leadership to go through just another level of how they can take notice, talk, and act and think about it through the workplace. So mention that because I think that's important.
Thank you, because sometimes we forget that schools for educators and the staff are the workplace. We think of them as schools.
Yes.
We think of the workplace as the office building down the street, okay? But that's true about the office building down the street, but schools are a workplace, and they have the same dynamics as any other workplace, all right? And so you have to be aware. Thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate it. Chris, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, okay, have you talked to, this is a little bit of business here, talked to Maya about getting an ad up on our website for all this, the grants?
I think I owe her an email because I think we have it ready to go.
Okay.
Get it over to her.
It'll be at ace-ed.org. Sorry to bring it up right now, but that's the way we want to make sure that the information is there in a multimedia sources, the magazine, the website, and here on the podcast. Okay, so get a digital ad up there so people who visit the website can see it, okay?
Sounds good. Yep.
Sounds good to me too, buddy. All right, tell Joy I said hello. I'm glad you had a good time at the fireworks, and this was an excellent discussion today. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Larry. You have a good rest of your week.
You too, my friend. And remember, it's already Tuesday. Look on the bright side. It's already Tuesday, okay? So
partway
have a good day. I'll talk to you later, Chris. Thanks a million.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chris Seeley, everybody, who is the Program Director of School and Justice Initiatives at the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, APAFDN.org. Okay, and you can figure out everything from there and follow the grants and all that sort of thing. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ACE-ED.org, our consortium for equity. All right, please go over there, see what we do, enjoy our magazine, et cetera, enjoy our website. Thank you for listening. Remember, it's Tuesday, July 6th, okay? Have a great day. Thanks for listening.